Sermon today is entitled The Uplifted Christ. It comes from John 3, verses 1 through 14. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Then came to Jesus by night and said unto Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except be God with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou soundest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And if ye have told earthly things, and ye believe not, shall ye believe that if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that comes down from heaven, and a son which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so he must be the Son of Man be lifted up. John chapter 3 is one of the most important interviews to be found in the Word of God, Jesus and Nicodemus. In this interview, God spoke of the Old Testament incident of the blazing serpent, and Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is not a mythological story. Jesus regarded this Old Testament account as a true historical event. He could have chosen many others, but he chose this event to compare his own lifting up on the cross. On the way to the promised land of Israel, they had become discouraged because of the way. I'll put it that way. Not only did they get tired of the way of the Lord, but they also got tired of the food God gave them, manna from heaven. Israelites referred to it as light bread. Now, the meaning of light bread was really a vile, a rotten bread. This was an expression of contempt for the food that God gave them. The term light bread was a derogatory word, really. As I think about it, it could be called miserable, worthless, rotten food. They have longing for the fish from the Nile River. They were longing for that which it could eat freely in the land of Egypt. They long for the cucumbers, the melons, leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And all the rich food helped them generate a race of slaves to serve Pharaoh. And God delivered them from bondage and led them across the Red Sea on dry ground. But they decided and preferred to live in bondage and eat Pharaoh's food rather than the manna of God, which they called miserable, rotten food. What an insult that must be for God. Now this is typical much of the Lord's people today, who after they've been delivered from the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, they prefer to go back into slavery in the land of spiritual Israel. See, many Christians today are addicts. They have addicted themselves to ever fleshly appetite, including the onions, false teachers, cucumbers of compromise, the garlic of another gospel, the melons of man to the man of God. Now, Apostle John in 12:3, our text says, they love the glory of men more than they love the glory of God. Many of people today are enslaved to what? Drugs, pornography, passions, alcohol, boozing, partying, clubbing, the idolatry of worship, to the extent of even sports, sexual perversion, and Paul calls this a vile passion. And they have the contempt for the bread of God's word and the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper today. The contempt is shown in their senseless rounds of activities and no time for the bread of life. At this point today, the same thing happens that happened to ancient Israel. The serpent appears. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people to bite the people, and much of the Israel died. And don't forget the fiery serpent is around. In Revelation 12, he's called the great red dragon, the old serpent, who's called the devil and Satan. And actually, in the wilderness, the serpents, have been there all the time. Moses, in his farewell address, according to Deuteronomy 5, reminded the people of God's protection before this event. Moses asked, "Who led you through the great and white wilderness wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought? Where were they? Where was no water? Who brought forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna?" The fiery serpents were there all the time, but God had protected his people and fed them. But when they began to blame God for their problems, God withdrew his protecting hand and the serpents came. People like to blame God for their problems. A preacher once told another man who had a problem, asked him to be prayed for to God for him. Then he said, "If your God did not answer your prayer," no, he wouldn't say that. He said, "If your God will not answer your prayer that you did in 10 days, I'm going to kill myself." The Israelites blamed God also for their problems and accused him, God, of feeding them with rotten food that wasn't fit to eat. That did it. Then God let the serpents take over. We cannot help but remember that protective hand of God has been on America from the beginning. When we see it in the political incorrect use of the name of Jesus Christ in public schools, we see it as politically incorrect, the law against prayer in schools. It's offensive to say Merry Christmas and the contempt of the inspired Word of God. And we wonder how long before it becomes politically incorrect to say or sing on the airways, "God Bless America." After all, must not offend some of these godless reprobates. At some point, God may withdraw his protective hand from America. I often wonder, was 9/11 the beginning or warning of the end? So the serpents came and the blight was painful and deadly. It appears they died, whether from the bite that was only a slight scratch or one that the snake got a big hold of them and gnawed on them. It's appropriate, though, that God sent serpents among the people after all. The enemy of mankind that appeared as a serpent in the Genesis is in the Garden in Eden. And he'll appear again in Revelation 20, verse 10. Remember what it says there? It says there in the final records from John, it says, "And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where are the beast and the false prophets, and they shall be tormented day and night forever." In the wilderness, if they have like us, they'll have asked Moses to persuade the elders to raise $1 million for research. Perhaps if we spend $1 million, we can develop a serum that will make everybody immune to that snake bite, the devil. They might be a pin or a pill or a shot, or it might be a spend enough money. We can find out. Perhaps if we organize a snake fighters league or club society, we would be the answer. They found out there was only one answer. And that was God's plan. He said, "Make a serpent of brass. Set it on a pole, and whosoever looks at it shall be healed." Now, before I mention much more about this one, have you ever noticed on the medical buildings, sometimes you'll see a cross with a serpent around it for symbols of medical help? They got that from the Bible. No one would have thought of such a thing in a million years. In desperation, they turned to God for the answer. The answer was a serpent lifted up on the pole. That's a symbol of medical day. According to Jesus, the only answer to sin problem today is the altar to Christ. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted. Must be lifted up. Must was a favorite word of the Master. He said, I must be at my Father's house. Then he says, I must be and preach the kingdom of God to other cities. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And he goes on and says, I must abide in my house. And the sheep I have are not of the fold, but they also must bring and they must hear my voice. So here he tells us, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Had the glory of God not lifted up on the cross, we could never be up and lifted up to heaven. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and we must be born again. Now there's some similarities in this uplifted serpent and comparing it to the uplifted Christ. First of all, snake. God said, make a snake. The Lord instructed Moses to make a snake, just one, not several. He was not told to make a black snake, rattlesnake, or a copper snake. God had no choice in the matter. There was just one serpent that was lifted up. Therefore also one Savior that was lifted up. It appears that Moses was only told to make one snake. Remember, God said there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all. Listen again, there's only one body of the church, one spirit, and his word is the Bible, and there's only one hope. Without Jesus, there's no other hope, because there's only one God. One Lord is his name, Jesus, one faith, and only one saving faith, one baptism by immersion for the remission of sins. One God and Father of all, and the God is a God who is only begotten Son Jesus, who was crucified and raised from the dead. Now this one of all seven categories, and Jesus made that clear when he said, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. In Peter, Acts 4:12, he reinforced that. When he declared this from Peter in Acts 4:12. There is therefore now none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's that must again. Not only did Moses make a snake, he had to make a brazen snake. I'm going to talk about that. Moses lifted up a brazen snake. The brazen serpent was God's judgment of the serpent's poison. The serpent that was lifted up on had no poison. In a similar manner, when Jesus was lifted up on, he was sinless, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. The brazen serpent was not a real serpent. He was only a symbol. Jesus was a real thing. It was not a real snake. He's only a symbol. Jesus was a real thing. It was real man that was nailed to the cross. Now listen to Philippians. Paul writes in the Philippian letter, the second chapter, listen closely. He says this about Jesus. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and he was made after the likeness of man, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Again, Paul writes in Romans 8, he says, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Remember, too, he said he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteous of God in him, in Jesus. On the cross, when he was lifted up, he felt as though he was guilty of every sin. I've mentioned this before, ever committed or ever will be committed. Like, just think of every type of sin person around, a rapist, every sex deviant, every murderer, every drunkard, every pimp, I'm trying to think of more, every liar, every thief, every extortioner, every hypocrite, every drug pusher. Jesus was made to be that sin. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Moses made a snake. He made a brazen snake out of brass. But notice that Moses lifted up the snake. And Moses lifted up the snake, and the Lord said, he must be lifted up too. He was lifted up when he was nailed to the cross. And Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." He's also lifted up every time the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is preached. He's lifted up every time a believing sinner is immersed into Christ for remission of sins. He's lifted up every time a public prayer is made in the name of Jesus Christ. He's lifted up every time we spend a dollar for the preaching of the gospel. The serpent is lifted up, so lift up Jesus. Show them the bruised and the battered body of the one who was lifted up. How high is the Lord lifted up at the time of the Lord's Supper? Think about that as we break the bread and drink of the cup. How high is Jesus lifted up? How high is he lifted up at the time of giving our funds? As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so even still the Son of Man be lifted up. But I want you to look at one of a couple other things. One of them, let's just look at the snake. They asked God to take away the serpents. And God did, but he did it his way. God gave them a command, testing them, "Look at the serpent and you shall be healed." Such command would not make much sense today. There's no natural reason why a plan would work today. No scientific proof of such a procedure would work today. There's no mathematical equation that could possibly make any sense. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, verse 10, I believe it is. "The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us who are saved is the power of God." I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10:18. Or 1:18, excuse me. "The foolishness of God is wiser than men." But he explains something here. He also explains why some cannot believe when he said, "Now the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned." Look at Christ lifted up in Matthew 11, where John the Baptist sent and asked a very important question. His disciples asked and said, "Art thou he that cometh, or look, should we for another?" And Jesus said, "Go and tell John whatever you've seen." And when John heard what Jesus had done, he believed, and search was over. Then who would look at Jesus and what he has done today? They'd find the most important things in life. Your search is over. Look at Jesus who was lifted up. Apostle John said in his 19th chapter, "They looked on him whom they pierced." Go and look at Jesus in observance of the Lord's Supper every time, first day of the week, and look on him who was pierced. In chapter of John, this chapter we read, 3, later on, Andrew and John looked up Jesus as he was walking and followed him. Chapter 1 of John. Jesus asked, What seek ye? And they asked, "Rabbi, where abidest thou?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. Andrew and John wanted to spend some private time with Jesus. See, if you're looking for Jesus, you want to spend some private time with him each day. Spend private time with him in a place where you abide. Hebrews 9 has an interesting thought and challenge, and we get a good look at Jesus when he wrote, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." 9:22. And goes on and says, "So Christ also have been offered once for the sins as many shall appear a second time apart from the sin, unto them who look for him unto salvation." See, are you looking for Jesus to return? It tells us to watch and be prepared. How about Jude? He gave us a great word of encouragement. When in Jude he said, "Build up yourselves on the most high faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep." You know what he said? Keeping? Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what for? For eternal life. One sure way to look at Christ is reading the 89 chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four Gospels have almost half the New Testament tells the story of Jesus, and the theme of the whole story can be told in John 3. We just read it, but on verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Read the four Gospels, get a good look at Jesus who was lifted up. Listen to this. The ground around the cross is level. The scholar stands there beside the high school dropout. The billionaire stands there with the person who worked for minimum wage. All are equal before God because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look at the foot of the cross and see the Apostle Paul, who said he was the chief of sinners. Beside him is Cornelius, who prayed always and gave much alms to the people. The ground is level at the cross. Makes no difference who you are. Look at the uplifted Christ on the cross and be healed. Don't look to your preacher. Don't look at some denomination or some denominational teaching. Look to Jesus. Don't look at the hypocrites. Look at Jesus. Don't look at yourself. Look at Jesus. Look to the uplifted Christ. They were not told to look at Moses or look to the serpent on the pole. And we're not to look to Moses ourselves. There's no salvation in Moses. Or in the law of Moses, the Old Testament was nailed to the cross when Jesus died. Paul said the law was our schoolmaster to do one thing, and that was to bring us to Christ. That is to bring us to Christ and obey His plan. Moses could not save anyone. Look to Jesus on the cross. They were not told to pray to the serpent, but look at the serpent. Some think they have to pray for salvation. Praying for salvation to be saved just won't work. God wants to save you. He has provided a means. He just wants you to accept and be willing to give your stop to your praying for and accepting His way. Look and live. You don't have to beg God to save you. He's already to do it. Believe in Jesus and obey Jesus Himself, because He said this in Mark 16:6. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Believe and obey. How about that? How about what's the same? You know, Paul wrote to Titus, we are to look for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God, our Savior, who gave Himself up for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. The day will come when all men saved, and the lost will look up and see Christ who was lifted upon the cross. And as a reminder, though, John in Revelation chapter 1, as he introduces the chapter, says this, behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and yea, they shall that pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth shall be mourning because of Him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let's close in prayer and pray for decisions.